God is moving mightily among us. Amen. There we go. And we flow with Him in this season. Can't you feel it, this move of God, things that God's doing? Kanye West is just wrecking me, man. I don't know about you guys. It's just crazy. This rapper who just got wrecked by Holy Spirit. And it's such a new thing that God is doing on the earth. It's so fun how God uses. I used to say to myself, you know, I'll never be my dad. And I remember as a young guy, a young kid, this is BC, before Christ, I would listen to this crazy rock and roll music of the 70s. And I remember my dad saying, that's just noise. You got to listen to that noise. And, you know, turn it down. You can't listen to that noise. And I always said to myself, I'll never say that. And then I started to hear rap. I go, that's just noise. That's just noise. And now God's using that to share the gospel. It's fun. Well, today we're going to continue in our series of teaching called The Spirit Man. Getting in touch with your spirit, because here's the truth. You're bigger on the inside. And in this new era, one of the things I believe that this new era will be known by is an increase of our spirit's reality in everything we do. The spirit, your spirit, is to lead you. Because here's the thing. You cannot be led by the Holy Spirit if your spirit doesn't lead you to Him. See, because you have free will. I have free will. And free will is an absolute in our life. And there's such incredible teaching about letting the Holy Spirit into your life. And it's good teaching, but the piece that I believe needs to be highlighted, to be elevated, is understanding our spirit's role, your spirit's role in the connection with Holy Spirit. How in the spiritual realm that connection works so we can fly higher, go deeper, impact the world and the nation around us greater. So please open your Bibles to Psalm 13. And I'm going to get real practical. I'm going to turn the corner now and get real practical in this teaching. The first two teachings that I had were foundational. And I want to get real practical in this connection on how the Holy Spirit and our spirit interact biblically according to the Word of God. And I want to use the Psalm of King David, because King David got it. King David got it. Psalm 13, verse 1 to 5, I'll be teaching in. Holy Spirit. You're here. Release this teaching. Breathe it on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Follow along as I read. I'm hurting, Lord. Will you forget me forever? How much longer, Lord, will you look the other way when I'm in need? How much longer must I cling to this constant grief? I've endured this shaking of my soul. So how much longer will my enemy have the upper hand? It's been long enough. Take a good look at me, God. Answer me. Breathe your life into my spirit. Bring light to my eyes in this pitch black darkness, or I will sleep the sleep of death. Don't let my enemies proclaim I've prevailed over him. For all my adversaries will celebrate when I fall. Lord, I've always trusted in your kindness, so answer me. I will yet celebrate with passion and joy. Your salvation lifts me up. Amen. The further we feel we're away from God, he's closer than we think. This psalm of King David was in one of his darkest moments. And he realized that his spirit must lead him back to God's spirit. His flesh couldn't lead him back. It was just overwhelmed. His mind at that point could not lead him back, yet King David knew God so well. He was considered a man after his own heart. And that couldn't lead him back. But he knew he needed to run back into Daddy's arms. And there was only one part of him that could truly get him to the place of seeing how close God was to him. That was his spirit. You see, when David wrote this song, it is believed that he had already been anointed king. His destiny was revealed to him. The greatness of what God would do for him was revealed to him. His identity he was steeped in. He was King David when he writes this song, which tells me something. That if King David, knowing who he was, could get to a place of crumbling, if John the Baptist, considered the greatest Old Testament prophet ever by Jesus, who revealed, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," who baptized Jesus in water, sees the dove fall on him. Now in prison, go ask Jesus if he's the Messiah. You see, there's a part in us, our spirit, that is so important that we realize, loved one, how the Holy Spirit connects with us. That I want us to really grasp tonight. Because here's the thing. Where the Holy Spirit breathes, light becomes life. This was the very first kingdom principle revealed by the Father concerning how the Holy Spirit interacts with our spirit. Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," and the earth was void at that moment. It was void. And then what happened? What happened in that moment? The presence and the Word waited for the breath. The presence and the Word waited for the breath. And in that moment, something was established about the Holy Spirit's interaction with man. The first thing that was breathed on the earth, you remember it? Let there be light. And there was light. And in that moment, there was a lesson for you and I as sons and daughters. See, here's what it is. God's Spirit does not speak. He breathes. Jesus made this really clear about this connection between our spirit and Holy Spirit. See, there's too many people that hear the Word of God, but they don't let the Holy Spirit breathe the Word into them deeply. And you learn this lesson when you feel you're the furthest away. This is where David learned it. How close God always is to you. Because it is our spirit that leads us back to the breath of God. Where deep calls out to deep. There's a place in you that has a void of truth you need. And in those moments, God breathes light. Because every word of God light to every void place inside you. And it is your spirit that receives it. Jesus says when right before he goes to the cross, he gives this instruction. He says, "I'm sending you a helper, the Spirit of truth." And he won't speak on his own. He'll take what is mine and reveal it to you. In other words, everything that you need to know or get revealed about God, Holy Spirit will deliver, all of it. But how does he deliver it. What actually happens in you and me? That I believe that when we get a revelation of this, when we understand what actually happens, what happens inside of us, our spirit comes alive. Our spirit is activated at a level of heightened awareness of the Holy Spirit. And what happens is your spirit sensitivity grows and you feel Him until the place where you can feel His Spirit everywhere on the land and the mountains and the trees. Everywhere you lay your feet, you feel His presence. See, because Jesus said, He will reveal. And then Jesus does something to explain when the Holy Spirit comes, how He'll reveal. He does something very interesting. Now, as the resurrected Lord, God Almighty in flesh, the resurrected Lord, the first thing he does with the disciples, he goes through the door. He told Mary Magdalene earlier, go tell him I ascend. So he ascended. Now later that same day, he says, peace be with you. And he says, as the Father sends me, I now send you. Now, how do I send you? Receive the Holy Spirit. With a breath. With the breath of God. See, you and I cannot be sent like Jesus was sent without the breath of God. See, God's Word, He doesn't speak it, He breathes it into you. He breathes it into you. It's the breath of heaven. I will now breathe it on you, and that breath of heaven, that is a new connection back to the way it was in the garden. Because now here's Jesus, the presence and the Word, and He breathes it. Receive the Holy Spirit. And this psalm is a good example of how this kingdom principle works. See, David, knowing his greatness, knowing his destiny, knowing he was king appointed by God, knowing that all that God had promised him in his position, knowing that troubles would come, but God would be with him, knowing all this, like you and I know all this, have you ever thought to yourself, why is it that sometimes after all that I know, I'm struggling today, I'm struggling now, why is it? David was struggling with deep depression, anxiety, struggling with the realities of life. But he understood something about how his spirit can lead him back to Holy Spirit, to let Holy Spirit breathe on him. I believe this is the revelation the church needs. To listen to God's Word, you must let Him breathe on you. The Holy Spirit is called the wind, and He's called the breath. The wind comes. Be prepared for the breath to breathe. We're trying to listen when we need to feel His breath upon our soul, coming from His Spirit to our spirit. The enemy wants you to think it's not that way. He wants you to concentrate on your flesh. Concentrate how you're feeling. You got your mind sometimes goes off and you're in a really bad place. It's in those moments that we need to understand Lord, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. I need to hear from you. No, 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 no. What we need to say is, Lord, I need you to breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father's sent me, he sent me with the breath upon me. I now send you with the breath upon you. As the Father sent me, I now send you with the breath of heaven in you. That same breath that I breathe into you, I now send you now. Now as the risen Lord, now that the cross, it is finished. Now that I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, what was breathed into you in Genesis 1:1 is now breathed into you again. We try to listen to his voice with our ears when we need to listen to his voice with his breath. David found his way by knowing that his spirit must listen to the breath of God. See, your spirit leads you when you follow this model, this simple thing in this prayer that David did. It's so profound, but when you follow it, your spirit is speaking, not your flesh and not your soul. Your spirit is speaking. It begins when you speak your heart to Daddy. Look at this. David says, I'm hurting, Lord. Will you forget me forever? How much longer, Lord, will you look the other way when I'm in need? How much longer must I cling to this grief? I've endured this shaking of my soul. So how much longer will my enemies have the upper hand? It's long enough. This is the King of Israel. Being so incredibly vulnerable. Whining like a two-year-old. He's the King over all. He saw God move mightily a time and time and time and time again. But he shows us something of a model of vulnerability that is so critical to operate. Let your spirit lead you back to him. I know we've all been to that place. But here's the battle. I'm a mature Christian now. I've had all these years with the Lord. I know I'm struggling with all these things, but I've got to deal with it first, and then I'll go to God. I can't tell him this. I can't be this vulnerable. And the enemy piles on. It's like the rugby football. You get in the scrum with the enemy. Oh, you got these feelings. I can't get these feelings. I'm the pastor. I got all these feelings. I can't get these feelings. I've been a Christian for 30 years, and I'm teaching a Bible study. And the sun, and then pile on. You're on the bottom. Ring a bell? Come on. And then the enemy, he piles on. He says, loser. You shouldn't be having these thoughts, you mature Christian. You shouldn't be having all those problems. You shouldn't be struggling like that. Oh, I shouldn't be. Why is that happening to me? You shouldn't be having that temptation again. You've been away from that so long. You loser. You better deal with that. And you feel like, I can't tell him that. I can't tell him that. I just got to deal with that. Lord, forgive me. I'll just ask for forgiveness. You can't ask for forgiveness until there's a confession. We try to go to the forgiveness without the confession. King David gives us a model that turns on our spirit. See, because here's the thing. Shame will keep you in the flesh, or the truth will keep you from shame. Shame will keep you from, and here's the thing, shame will keep you from your spirit, or your spirit will keep you from shame. So Holy Spirit can get involved. See, he's the one that needs to deal with, he's the one that, he's the healer, he's the comforter. But we've got to choose him. We've got to go back to him. And it is your spirit that takes you back. And the enemy's twisted lies in your life is if he can keep you in the flesh, full of shame, trying to help it, trying to do it on your own, not being so vulnerable and honest with God about how much you just struggled in that area that you hadn't in so long, or how much you're struggling with this, and how much you just, you knew this message, but now you're not living that part of that message, or what just happened in your life after all these years of being a believer. He's going to keep you there in the flesh. Then he can attach shame to you, but as soon as your spirit engages, there's a distance between where shame is in your flesh and where your spirit is. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist him? You let your spirit lead you back to God. Because sometimes your flesh can't. Sometimes your mind can't. Sometimes your emotion can't. That's reality. So tell him, God, I'm just a kid running into your arms. I am struggling so bad with this. I'm embarrassed by it. I shouldn't be having this thing, whatever it is. Bitterness, critical spirit, lust, pride, selfish ambition, words that are just evil. Whatever it is, God, I'm doing these things. Look. You know he knows, but here's the thing. He's the Father of truth. And unless you speak truth to him, he cannot father you. He's the Father of truth. He wants to. He's ready to. But you got to speak the truth. For you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. That's not a one-way thing from him to you. That's you to him as well. The enemy wants to get you to somehow keep some of it because of shame away and just say, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. Whoa. Slow down, Kimosabi. I confess this to you, Lord. This, David is saying, like a little kid, he's the king of Israel, and he's saying, wallowing like a little kid, I'm just like done. I can't do it. I can't even lift my pinky. Loved ones, it's okay, because when you put the truth of how you're feeling in his hands, it stays out of your mind. Your spirit is now leading you. That's how the Spirit leads you. Your spirit leads you back to Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit can take it. You position yourself for what? A breath. Holy Spirit doesn't speak, he breathes the word. We're trying to listen with our ears when we need to watch with our spirit for the breath of God to breathe the word into us. The Holy Spirit Father, God is the presence, our Father. The Son is the Word, the written Word, the Rhema Word, the spoken Word. The Holy Spirit is called the breath of God. He takes the presence of God, He takes the Word of God, and He breathes it on you, loved one. Share your heart with Him. It positions you for an encounter for His breath. If you don't share your heart fully, be so vulnerable with Him. A good cry, a good laugh. Even if you're mad at Him, tell Him, I'm so mad at you, God. That's called relationship. It's called relationship, real relationship. Sometimes you're happy, sometimes you're sad, sometimes you're mad. Some of you are going crazy in your mind. Listen, you think you're crazy, you're talking to yourself because you're so ashamed and you haven't told God everything. You haven't, I'm just going to tell you everything, God. And the devil's got you so worked up in your mind. Well, this stuff doesn't work. This Bible stuff doesn't work. This journaling doesn't work. It hasn't worked for me in years. Well, you know why? Because you're in your flesh, you're not in your spirit. And you haven't thrown up on Him everything that's wrong in your life. And continue to test, but just confess. Tell Him exactly everything. Some of us need a spiritual flush. A spiritual flesh. When you do this, you position yourself for an encounter of the breath of God to breathe the Word of God into your life. Because when the breath of God breathes the Word of God, something shifts in you. Something shifts radically inside you. Your spirit then leads you when your spirit prays for His breath. Now, look, you've confessed, you're honest. That's your spirit saying, I'm giving this all to you. Listen, your spirit has no problem giving it all to God. Your mind has a problem. Your flesh has a problem with it. That temptation, that problem. But your spirit has no problem. Let's give it all to God. Your flesh has a problem with it because your flesh likes it. Struggling with it. I like that. Your mind has a problem with it because it's just shameful. But your spirit says, yeah, let's take all that. Well, let's give it all to God. And now your spirit must pray for His breath. Look at Psalm 3. It says, take a good look at me, God, and answer me. Breathe your life in my spirit. He's praying, breathe on me, spirit. My spirit, bring light to my eyes in this pitch darkness. Listen, this word, bring light in the pitch darkness. This is the same Hebrew phrase that described the earth when God arrived. Void and pitch black. See, David knew something that we must know, that when the Lord breathes on us, light enters into a dark place. Not just a word, light. And the Holy Spirit takes the word, and there's a combustion in the spirit realm that breaks every chain that's more powerful than anything. Because when Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit, the whole weight of His name, the whole authority, that's what the kingdom is, the authority of God, was released in that breath. And so when we pray, breathe on me your word, The Spirit and the Word become the Spirit of truth. In the name of Jesus, it goes to that void place inside you. We need to pray a very specific prayer. When we pray it, our spirit enters into this prayer. And when our spirit prays, we pray with an understanding. We also pray in a language we know. And we're also to pray in a spiritual language. These are things we're to do. The prayers are prayers to God. Very specific. Do you know you can pray to the Holy Spirit? I remember being taught in my evangelical roots, hey, you don't pray to the Holy Spirit, you only pray to God the Father. Well, the things you pray to God the Father, for sure. The outline is the Lord's Prayer. But there are times in the Bible when the counselor, the revealer of the Word, the breath of God, is God. He's the person of God that's here. And when it comes to the things concerning revelation, He will reveal anything that needs to be revealed. Guess who reveals it? God, the Holy Spirit. God, Holy Spirit, reveal to me. He said He'll reveal all things, and He'll remind you of what I've already said. Now listen, Jesus' promise to you and I is the Holy Spirit reminds you of everything He's already said. So when you ask Holy Spirit to remind me of what Jesus has already said, guess what happens? You get reminded. Ask Holy Spirit when it comes to revelation. Holy Spirit, counselor, revealer, encourager, breathe the Word on me. Breathe your life into my spirit. It will bring light to my eyes. Proverbs 20, verse 7, the Spirit God breathed into man is like a living lamp, a shining light searching into the innermost chambers of our being. In this series, I'm going to talk about our most innermost being. That's our spirit, our most innermost being. I wonder if you've ever wondered that. My innermost being, cool, that's a place, I guess. No, that's your spirit. Listen, the Spirit God breathed into man. Listen, your spirit came from breath. It came from breath. And it comes back to the breath. So what happens when the Word is deposited in you, what's actually happening in you is breath meets breath. That which was there before the beginning of time, you, your spirit, inside the very breath of God that was breathed out with every promise, with every purpose, with everything inside you, is waiting to reconnect with the breath that gave it life. The atmosphere around you changes, and your spirit leads you when you celebrate with passion His truth. Because here's what happens. The Word and the Spirit produces truth. And to trigger you back into your spirit, celebrate with passion the truth, the revelation you've already received from God. Praise Him for the revelation you've received. Praise Him for the breath He's already given you. As you praise Him for the breath He's already given you, you're speaking out. The breath He's already given you is revelation. When you speak it out, You create room in your spirit for more. Because your faith grows. That's why you speak it out. That's what's happening in you and me. The breath of God. More can come. Lord, I've always trusted your kindness, so answer me, and I will yet celebrate with passion and joy when your salvation lifts me up. King David comes back. He remembers the truth that came from the breath of God. He remembers it was the very breath of God that gave him the revelation that became truth in his life. And as he declares that truth over him, he positions himself for more of the breath of God because it was the breath that gave it. So now it's the breath that he can receive freely. You've received freely. Give. Give him his breath back. Give it back to him and you'll receive more of it. Speak it out. Say, Lord, the revelation you gave me that was your breath, I will now use my breath to speak it out. I will use my breath to speak it out. The atmosphere around me will change. This word is a spiritual thing. It's not normal. It's not something that's manufactured by man. It's got power. But it has power because it's the very breath of God being breathed into you. And when you understand that, when you know that, when you speak it out, listen, your breath is partnering with the very breath of heaven. And when you speak it out, your faith increases because you know the very breath that was breathed in you that created truth. You're now breathing out a word that will produce truth over the atmosphere around you. And things get lifted off you and things get lifted off others. And when you do that, your spirit man rises up and partners greater and deeper with the Holy Spirit. Let's stand. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this revelation. Father, Jesus, the presence and the word, you've come today. Breathed on us, Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the Word have created the truth. For you do not speak, you breathe on us your Word. Deep in our spirits. For us to speak out. For our breath to speak it out. So today, we take those broken, empty places. We take those places void. We take our pain and our suffering. We take those things that we've wrestled with. And we say, no more. No more. I'm not going to rely on my flesh. I'm not going to rely on my mind on this one. I'm going to run to my spirit, and I'm going to let my spirit lead me back to Holy Spirit. I'm going to speak out the truth that he's already breathed into me in the atmosphere. And I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Breathe on me. I want us to take a few minutes. We're running a little long today, but I want us to take a few minutes. Just let the Holy Spirit breathe on you. Talk to him. Tell him those deepest, darkest, most intimate problems in your life. Don't hold anything back. Confess it all to him. Confess it. Tell him.